You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. People in Flint who've been getting the state to help pay their water bills appear to be losing that help. Flint Mayor Karen Weaver met with Governor Snyder on Tuesday, and she was unable to get him to budge from the decision to put an early end to the state-funded subsidy program that helped people pay for the water that they cannot safely drink without a filter. The state announced an early end of the subsidies February 28th, right after the Department of Environmental Quality announced that lead levels in Flint's tap water had fallen below the federal limit. Laura McIntyre lives in Flint. We spoke with her at the beginning of 2016 when a lot of folks in Flint were refusing to pay their water bills. She was one of those who continued to pay, but let's see how things have gone in the past year. Laura, remind us again, why did you choose to keep paying your water bill?
Well, at that time, it was just, you know, kind of out of habit, just paying the bills every month. And it was just kind of the path of least resistance. And I really had hopes, my whole family had hopes that something would finally be getting done. And so we just kept kind of paying. But it's interesting that you should say that, because shortly after that interview, we stopped paying.
Why?
For the bills.
Why'd you do
that?
Well,
because things just weren't moving. Nothing was getting done. We were being lied to again. The water was getting worse. And, you know, none of the pipes were being replaced. And we were just being given filters as a solution to the problem without any kind of change in the actual infrastructure.
And how much would a typical monthly bill be for you, Laura?
Well, we calculated it was about $180 to $190 a month.
And then as the year went on, what have things been like at your house and with your water?
It's terrible. The water is still disgusting. It smells bad. It's inconsistent. I'm really afraid of it. The kids are afraid of it. Our washing machine broke. Our dishwasher broke. We can't use it for anything that had water go through it. Just ended up dying. There's water streaming down our walls. All the pipes are falling apart. The toilets are falling apart. The sinks. And we're really concerned. You said that we can't safely drink the water. Well, we're concerned that we can't safely bathe in the water as well. And so that's just been, you know, something that we've been trying to get authorities, the state, to systematically investigate, and they've absolutely refused. So we know about the lead, but we don't know about the other toxins. And it's just starting to come out about, you know, the Legionella, shigellosis, the bacteria, you know, and then all the chemicals that are used to treat those things as well.
Laura, has the state tested your water or the city?
We did take a sample for the city. I'm not sure quite what happened with that sample. We have been tested by Virginia Tech. We were in the first 300 households that were part of that initial test where high lead levels were found. And then subsequent to that, we were tested two times by Water Defense, by Scott Smith and Water Defense, who tested for more than lead and copper. You know, he actually tested for the TDHMs and the chloroform and the, you know, other bacterial agents.
And what did you find?
We found that we had some of the highest TTHMs in the city. So we weren't necessarily in danger of lead, although we had a trace of lead. The city says it's well below the 15 parts per billion. I think our lead is at 4.7 after two flushings. But that 15 parts per billion is just an arbitrary number that was made up with the, you know, institution of the lead and copper rule. So no lead is good.
Are you using a filter?
Not really, no. We use bottled water.
Do you have access to free filters?
Yes, we have access to the Brita filters that are completely inadequate because they only filter out 99% of, you know, the lead and certain other contaminants. One time we tried a filter, it was used up in a couple of days. It just gets clogged very quickly with the gunk and the sediment. Like I said, our problem isn't the lead. Our problem is, who knows? I mean, I still don't know to this day. I have a 55-page report from Water Defense that outlines all of the dangerous chemicals in my water, but, you know, really those tests are a snapshot in time and can only give you an indication of what's going through your pipe at that moment. And the one thing about this water crisis is that the water has been consistently inconsistent.
And when you hear the EPA and the State Department of Environmental Quality make the announcement, well, the lead levels are now below the federal action level. Things are vastly improved. What do you think when you hear that?
I see red. I am so angry because they are not The lead and copper rule requires that the most vulnerable homes, the ones that are most susceptible to lead contamination, are the ones that are supposed to be tested, and they're not doing that. How do they know that the lead levels have gone down? They haven't done systematic testing for all of the homes. In fact, all of the homes have not been tested. It makes me very angry to hear that. That's just simply not true.
What has to happen for you to start paying your water bills again?
The community, we've been operating on the principle that we have three demands, and the first is that to fix what you broke. The pipes are broken irreparably. They can't be flushed. They can't be coated. They're damaged to the point of, you know, disintegration in places. They need to be replaced, and it has to be the lines in the home, the service lines, and the lines for the city. All of the infrastructure needs to be replaced. We've gone past the point of no return. We need comprehensive services for everyone who's been affected. We need health, medical, mental, educational services that are truly genuine. Right now, a lot of lip service is being paid to eating fresh fruits and vegetables. We've been giving insulting checklists with tips to reduce stress, you know, in place of mental health services. And, you know, we demand that we be made whole again. We don't pay for poison water until the water is actually, we can use it without the filters.
Laura, just wondering, are you saving the money you would normally use for your water bills just in case?
We are trying to, but it's taking a lot to actually live in our house that's falling down around us with trying to fix the things that are crumbling down around our feet. So having to replace washers and clothing that's, you know, being destroyed, and, you know, just having to live in the city with this terrible water is enormously expensive.
Laura McIntyre of Flint. Laura, thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you, Cynthia.